Hey guys, and welcome back to the second episode of this whole Love Yourself series. I'm glad to be back and actually really grateful of being back to school because I can actually have a schedule and it's just a lot more soothing and just more settling on having a schedule on when to write my blog, write my podcast and everything else and get out of this vacation stage. In the previous episode, we talked about my story and my struggles with mental health and how I finally discovered what was going on with myself. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, I did find ways that worked for me on dealing with it and how to find healthy ways of coping with it and finding the light in the midst of the darkness of my depression and my anxiety. This might not work for everyone, but I think these steps are worth to try. It's worth a shot. And who knows, it might work for you like how it worked for me. But first of all, I think it is important to acknowledge it. Acknowledge that there is something going on with yourself. There is something that seems like a lot more complex than just feeling sad or just feeling angry or just how people tend to say simple emotions. Because no emotions are actually simple in whatsoever. It does not mean that I suggest you to self-diagnose yourself. I mean, like, go online and then try to look up on this, and how I am like this, and then, oh, I have depression, period. Doesn't really work like that. It's a lot more complex than that, and technically, someone who is board certified or has a license has the rights to do that. Because you might be self-diagnosing yourself on something that's not true. But for us to just acknowledging it in the first place and actually stop suppressing all these unhealthy emotions and like when you're feeling sad or when you're having quote-unquote a panic attack and you just keep it to yourself and then you try to brush it off, that's really unhealthy. And that actually can make things a lot worse and more complex, and it's not really healthy for your mental health. So number two, having a conversation is crucial. Having a conversation, talk about this and not just try to keep everything to yourself, actually helps. You can start by, you know, talking to a close friends, though usually that doesn't really help because you're kind of in the same stage of life and the perspective is very based on experience. There's no medical background to it whatsoever. I mean, you can find amazing friends that actually deal with similar things with you that can teach you on ways of coping it, but diagnosing it or just really set firm on like this is what it is doesn't really help. So, which leads me to what I went through. I did mentorship and counseling. And these are not just friends that are a lot older than I am that I consider as mentors, but there are people that are really, really, like, real adults. Like my youth pastor, for example, or the resident director of one of the buildings here. And so those people have experienced life a tad bit longer than what your most common friends are, so their perspective might be a bit different from yours. I'm not saying that they should be diagnosing with you, but they can help ways on how to see things a bit differently on how you used to see. Because the problem with anxiety and depression is the way of your perception on seeing, your locus of control and how you respond to that locus of control to yourself. Which leads me to what worked for me the best. Yes, mentorship is amazing. But counseling changed my life. And if in your college or in your school you have a free like counseling facility, I really highly recommend that. I mean, it's free. You should go there. And just even having a conversation with a professional changes things. And they will understand more because that is their job. And more of the rights of actually being able to diagnose you. What my counselor did, she didn't exactly like point out that you are depressed. That's it. No, but she kind of brings it up in a level that's like, okay, you do have the hints of being a bigger chance of being depression. Like, after a few conversations, after a few sessions, she finally did say to me on what actually was going on. But she was not like putting me in a box and like diagnosing at that moment. We actually had a conversation first. You know, we try out to see what was going on and give more of a background context on why you might have what you have. So counseling is a great option. It is, you are just having a conversation, and a conversation that actually might be really healthy and mind-blowing to you, because it will reveal so many things about your life that you never expect to come out. And the next step that I would definitely suggest is therapy, and it also goes in with counseling. There is some homework practice to it, usually. Like, she will ask you to do a certain type of movements when you start feeling overwhelmed, or she will suggest you to write it down, or she will suggest you a way of changing the way of perspectives. So therapy is great. And I will start mentioning a few therapeutic things that I've done in the past that has worked for me. So the first thing is called the self-reformation change in words. Usually people with depression has a very shallow, insecure kind of mindset. And also with people with anxiety, it's just when your fears have become more than the actual reality. So your fears, your imaginations becomes the reality. And self-reformation changing words, like encouraging words or cue codes, like you can put like really encouraging words for yourself when you know like you freak out most when this kind of thing happen, even though that is not always true. And so you can change it by reminding yourself that when your mind starts saying these negative, untrue words, Those things are not true. And so you can use these cue codes. You can put it in your room. You can put it in your phone. You can put it anywhere that you feel like it's mostly easy to access, to remind yourself before an attack or before you get really depressed. Second, you can try dividing the truth and the lie about yourself. So let's say you can... There's things that when people are depressed, they have a tendency of, I don't feel worthy, I don't deserve to be here, and stuff like that. And as a Christian, I would like to say that those words are not true. You are worthy, you are the beautiful image bearer of God, and that you should remember that. The truth is, you are the image of God, and the lie is, you are unworthy. And the more you cut those lies and actually divide it and like not overcome it, but you know, put it back to the truth and not that lie actually really sink in and cause you to go down in a rabbit hole, that's amazing. So dividing the truth and the lie about yourself is always great. So when you have these crazy talk, it's like the cue cards thing, like the cue codes, but it's more of a list and more a direct when it's actually happening. Meditation is always great. Like, as extroverted you are or as introverted you are, everyone needs some time to yourself. Everyone needs a time for them to rewind and, you know, listening to soothing music and just, you know, do some relaxing like yoga positions or just listening yourself with a really healthy podcast really helps, because it kind of slowly fill your mind. You know what they say, what comes out is what you put in. So the more positive influence things you put in your body, in your mind, the more likely you have a more positive outlook on certain things, which will help you cope when you're having a panic attack or when you're having a depressive episode. The next thing is come into a sense of community and really try new stuff. Don't let yourself stuck in a routine. Like, it is good to have a routine, but it is good also to really find ways to make a better self of yourself. Like, find ways that you will enjoy, that will bring joy to you. So it's also a really healthy coping mechanism, so you don't let yourself be ducked into a really sad hole. So come into a sense of community, have good friendships, have good conversations. Try to create really healthy relationships, because their stories might inspire you and your story might inspire them. And I emphasize on the healthy relationship part, because again, back to bringing more positive insights and less negative outlooks, you kind of really want to build that. Having also really good boundaries with your friendships, not be codependent. I had the issue of codependency, and so really having a set frame of yourself, but also having really healthy relationships, which I'm going to talk about in the next episode about boundaries, is amazing. Next thing, track down your emotions. Sometimes when you're feeling it, you really don't understand what's going on. Write it down. Write it down so you don't let yourself be really clustered and really overwhelmed. But like, start writing down, okay, I started feeling sad, and this happened, and this happened. And that way, you will set yourself by slowing down yourself to the point that you will not reach a panic attack or being depressed. So writing it down, tracking it down, and really try to see what's going on and put a word in what you're feeling is great, because you're slowing things down. You're slowing things out before, again, you run into a really deep rabbit hole. So track down your emotions, express it to the Lord, or even there's so many things going on in your mind, and sometimes talking to people doesn't really help. Try to write it down. When you're angry, when you're mad, you're frustrated with this, you're frustrated with that, just say it to the Lord, because the Lord is your anchor, your Lord is your savior, and there's a reason why he does the things that he does. And then have deep, truthful relationship with yourself and with the Lord. I kind of briefly mentioned this, but it's so important to have a deep, truthful relationship, and just really where you're honest with each other, with your friendships. So like, you can both encourage one another and have also really positive criticism. In a criticism that's really empowering and that's growing for you. And also with the Lord, again, by really expressing yourself, by really having intimate conversations, by expressing your struggles and not trying to always seem okay, it's a good way to have a very intimate, deep, a way that not only you will know your faith even deeper and you let the Lord be closer to you, but you also let yourself know more about yourself, if that makes any sense. Like, it makes you know more about you by being truthful to God and to yourself. And lastly, okay, this is easier said than done, and I'm still struggling some points of this, but when I am on a routine, when I'm doing this regularly, it really, really helps. And so exercise, and it's easier said than done, but you can do light things like yoga, even cardio, if you want to do weights, it's up to you. Because this really, really helps you release the tension you have. Because even though you might not feel like you're going to have a panic attack, but when your stress starts overwhelming you, you have a bigger chance, a bigger likelihood to express one and not the other. There's a bigger chance for you to be really depressed or really anxious if you let all that stress pile up in you. And those are my tips. And I just want to say again, this works for me, doesn't work for everyone, but I hope that this could be helpful for people out there who is willing to try and seek and love themselves more by actually taking care of both their mental and physical health. So again, thank you so much for listening to my second episode. And I hope you all have a wonderful day or a wonderful evening wherever you are. And I'll see you next time. Bye.